Very good morning to everyone. So good to see you here as we worship the Lord together. And like Pastor William said, from next week onwards, we will also have the 9 o'clock service. And just to let you know, in case you are wondering, according to the MCCY advisory, up to 8 people from not from the same family can sit together in the worship service. And so just to let you know, that is the advisory. But we have arranged the chairs in such a way that it's 3 or 4. So breakaway. So just we want to be sensitive to one another. Some people may feel a bit uneasy sitting with strangers. So just be sensitive to each other. But just to let you know, the advisory is that up to 8 people can sit together, not necessarily from the same family. I believe God has a special message to us this morning as we look into His Word from Isaiah 55, a life-changing invitation that you can't refuse. I was once invited to solemnize a garden wedding at Raffles Hotel, followed by a sumptuous buffet dinner at the bar and billiard room. So those of you who have been to bar and billiard, it's a very good buffet over there. And it was an international buffet with oyster and sashimi among the wide variety of food and especially the desserts. In fact, there was so much food to choose from that my wife and I did not manage to try everything. You know, at a buffet, you try to try everything, but we couldn't even manage to try everything at a spread, you know. I had a few oysters and some sashimi, pacing myself properly, making sure that I still had enough room for the mouth-watering desserts at the end. So when you go to a buffet, you must pace yourself properly. We also could order from a wide variety of drinks, like soft drinks, fresh orange, fresh juice, coffee, tea, cocktails, and different variety of wine. And my wife and I each ordered ourselves a glass of fresh orange juice and a glass of red wine. And that evening, we also had good company. And so it was a great evening, enjoying good food and enjoying good company, as well. You see, in our passage for today in Isaiah 55, you and I are invited to a sumptuous buffet that is far better than the one at bars and billiard room, or for that matter, any other buffet in town. And the one who invites us is God Himself, the creator of the entire universe. So let us stand as we read the Word of God together. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorns shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are our Creator, and you're the one who made us, and so you know very intimately our deepest needs. And so this morning, as we listen to your word, may your Holy Spirit come and help us to find our true satisfaction in you alone. In Christ Jesus, our Lord's name, amen. Please be seated. You know, in our scripture passage for today, God is calling his people not to miss out on what he has for us. True satisfaction, life transformation, real life transformation, as well as fruitfulness in ministry. And that's why I've chosen this as our second message for this year. As we begin the new year, may these three priorities be our priorities, both for our personal life as well as for our church. So first of all, satisfy yourself fully with God. Verses 1 to 5. Let me read verse 1 and 2 again. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? So listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. If you notice these two verses, there are 10 imperatives. Imperatives are commands. Just in these two short verses, there are 10 of them. So I've colored them yellow. So in a sense, this is not simply an invitation from God, but it's actually a command from God for us to go to him and enjoy him. And this invitation from God, the God who created us, was given with a strong sense of urgency. To people who are caught up with pursuing things that do not really satisfy them, God is giving a life-changing invitation that they can't refuse. He's offering a completely new way of living. So, brothers and sisters, friends, this morning, God is inviting us to experience life in its fullest. That's the abundant life that our Lord Jesus offers, the fullest possible life that you and I can live, because God wants to satisfy our deepest needs. And God offers us three things in this generous invitation. In verse 1, water, wine, and milk. So these three drinks corresponds to our most basic human needs. Water is the most basic human need. And according to the United Nations Water Development Report on 22nd of March 2020, about 2.2 billion people in the world currently do not have access to safely managed drinking water. That means one-third of the world's population do not have safe water to drink. The average person requires at least 20 liters of water a day to drink and wash. Guess how much water that the average Singaporean use? 151 liters of water every day. The basic need is 20, but Singaporeans use 151 liters of water a day. In fact, the government target is by the year 2030, so in about 10 years' time, it will go down to 130 liters. So at the present moment, we are using about 151 liters of water. 1.1 billion people in the world only have 5 liters of water. Average person need at least 20. But 1.1 billion people in the world only have 5 liters of water. And the water is actually contaminated even. So these people are left with no choice but to consume water that they fetch from unsafe sources such as unprotected wells, ditches, rivers, or lakes. In fact, many young girls and women in some third world countries spend the entire time, almost the whole day, fetching waters because they've walked several hours away to fetch unclean water for them to use. So coming back to Isaiah 55, verse 1, water is our most basic need for survival and refreshment. And God is inviting us to come to Him to receive refreshment. Water is a basic human need for refreshment, but we not only need refreshment in our life, we also need nourishment. That is why we also need milk. And those of us who are parents, especially the younger ones, you remember, those of older, we can still remember that. The average baby needs to be fed at least 8 times milk every day, at least 8 times. And John Piper puts it very aptly. He says, God is not just for emergencies and for mountain peaks. He is for health in the long run. He invites you not only to come alive with water, but to be stable and strong with milk. And that's God's invitation to us. And in His generous invitation, in verse 1 here, Isaiah 55, God not only offered water and milk, He also offered us wine. Wine was used in ancient times as well as today to celebrate special occasions like success, a wedding, maybe a promotion, something that is joyful. That's wine that's used that. Sometimes, a few times, people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, my parents want to serve wine at our wedding, but I cannot. We cannot serve wine. But I say, actually, where does the Bible say you cannot serve wine at a wedding? In fact, Jesus turned water into wine at a wedding ceremony. So wine is for celebration. And of course, we must be careful not to get drunk. So you see, there is something inside of us that not merely want to exist only. God has created each one of us with a desire for acceleration. There is something inside us that want to just dance and shout. Some of us may be very inhibited, but there's something inside us that just want to shout out loud, to sing, you know, to just express ourselves. That is what God has created us. God wants us to refresh with water. He wants to nourish us with milk. And He also wants to delight us with wine. These are offered freely and abundantly. He calls us not to drink, not just to drink only, but to enjoy. That's what these two verses talk about. In fact, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says that man's chief aim is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's our vision up there as well. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So there's something that we don't often talk about. Enjoying God. Delighting ourselves in God. Notice that we can buy water, milk, and wine without money and without price. Hope you can see the paradox here. How can you buy something without money? Anything worth having has its price. Anything that is of value costs something. Usually, the higher the value, the higher the price. And yet, God is offering us something of value without money and without cost. You know, in today's commercial world, no businessman would ever think of selling his products his merchandise without any price, you know, he will go bankrupt. No merchant, no businessman will ever do that. But God does. How does he do it? Because God has already paid the price. And it was a very high price that God paid. That's why we celebrate communion today. God paid the price, the very life of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, on one occasion, my family and I, this was way pre-COVID days, my family and I were having lunch at one of our favorite restaurant, a little tiny restaurant behind in JB, behind Belangi. And this is one of our favorite restaurants. So that afternoon, we ordered our favorite asam fish and also some delicious dishes. And after we had our fill, when I wanted to pay for the food, I asked for the bill, and the waiter came and said, the bill has already been settled. The bill was already settled. Free lunch for me. You see, one of our church members from another church that was pastoring was having lunch with his family also, just a few tables away. And even though we got to eat a free meal, a free lunch, and it cost us nothing, someone has actually paid the price, and it cost him something. He paid for that lunch. And though while God is offering us, what God is offering us this morning is free and does not cost us anything, let us be reminded that it does cost God something. It was a high price that God paid, a heavy price that he paid. It cost him the life of his one and only son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the question in verse 2 is meant to help us evaluate our present situation, our present pursuit in life. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why you spend your labor for that which does not really satisfy? Why work so hard for something that does not really satisfy you? So this question is a twofold question. Should help us evaluate our present pursuit in life as we begin this new year. Brothers and sisters, God is offering us the richest of fare that will delight our soul. Something that will truly satisfy our deepest need. So the question, of course, is what is this thing that God wants to truly satisfy us? What is this thing that will surely delight our soul? What is God offering us this morning that will meet our most basic human needs without having us to pay for it? You ready for the answer? The answer is actually God himself. Come to me. This reminds me of Jesus, what he said in John chapter 7. If anyone of you is thirsty, come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water that we will be fully satisfied, not only for ourselves, but it will go on to touch others. We will talk about that later on. God is offering us a personal relationship with himself. God is inviting us to enjoy him, to enjoy him. He's the only one who can bring us true satisfaction to our soul. So let me read verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. You see, God promises to, God's invitation here for us is to give up our junk food, the food that doesn't really nourish us or satisfy us. Give up our junk food, our stale bread. And he's inviting us to enjoy him. And he's the only one who can truly enjoy him. I believe some of us, brothers and sisters, are going through a period in our life where we find that we nothing really satisfies us. I think this is God's invitation for us. Let's come before Him and spend time with Him and enjoy Him. God's generous invitation to find our satisfaction in Him is not meant for us to enjoy ourselves only. He wants other people to come and enjoy Him as well. That's where verses 3 to 5 comes in again. So let me read verse 3 and then to 5. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Verse 3 tells us that God makes a covenant with David, a covenant with his people that is corresponding to the covenant that he made with David. So God is saying to us this morning, I want to make a covenant with you, just like the covenant that I made with David. You know, despite his many failures and shortcomings, the Bible calls David a man after God's heart. He knows how to enjoy God. He's a man after God's heart. David loved God with all his heart, and he delighted himself in the Lord. He enjoyed God. So despite his failures and shortcomings, he was called a man after God's heart. Brothers and sisters, this morning, God is giving us the same invitation to enjoy Him as David enjoyed Him. The one who can truly satisfy our soul, our deepest need. The one who can truly satisfy our deepest needs. David was not a recipient of God's promises merely for his own benefit. Verse 4 says that David was a witness to the peoples, to the nations. He was a leader and a commander for the peoples. So in exercising his leadership role as the king, when he exercised his leadership as a king, David was ultimately bearing witness to the power of God, not so much for his own benefit. He's not building his own kingdom, but rather he was declaring the character of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was a witness to the nations of God's mighty power. So, brothers and sisters, those of us who are leaders in the church, our pastors, elders, deacons, those of us who are ministry leaders, CG leaders, youth leaders, children ministry leaders, and of course, as parents, we are also leaders in our home as well. You and I, as leaders, have a heavy responsibility to model to the people that we are leading that God's mighty power, you know, to the way we serve, to the way we live our life. God's transforming power so that we together as a church, leaders as well as members, we can become a powerful witness of God's power here in this community as well as in our focus countries in terms of missions. So church leaders can be powerful witnesses of God's power, just like King David when he exercised his authority and power as a king. He was declaring to the nations God's mighty power. So as church leaders, we are powerful witnesses of God's omnipotence, especially when we make decisions, not according to our human calculations, but according to the faith and the wisdom that God has placed upon our life. So how we make decisions will declare to the nations God's mighty power. And God promises us in verse 5 that just as David's life was a witness to the many peoples, our purposeful life will, according to one translation, will summon nations. here is used the word call a nation, not so powerful. The original Hebrew word is to summon nations to us. Nations that we do not know, God will summon to us. Nations that do not know will hasten to us, will run towards us. Why? Because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. So this is something that we don't often hear about. We often hear about we glorifying God, but here say God is glorifying us. God is putting His favor upon us. God is endowing upon us His splendor, His Shekinah of glory. God says that our transformed life will become so distinctive, will become so unique that the people around us will take notice and they will be drawn towards God because of us. So I want you to turn to your neighbors and say, people will be drawn to God through me and through you. Say that to one another. You may be thinking, but Pastor, I got so many shortcomings. It is not that we must be perfect. David was not perfect. But God says He's going to make our lives so distinctive that those who do not know God will be drawn to God through us, through our interaction with them. Think about the Israelites who first heard this promise of God. You will summon nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you will run towards you. Think about it when the Israelites first heard this promise of God. You see, God's people were probably thinking, God, you must be kidding. You see, some Bible scholars believe that Isaiah 55 was written when God's people were living in exile in Babylon. They were living in captivity. They were not even on the map as a nation in the ancient world. When you are conquered by another nation and living in exile, in captivity, far away from your homeland, it is very hard to imagine nations flocking to you, running to you. But it happened. God will draw many people to Himself through the most unlikely people. That is you and I. We are the most unlikely people that God will use to draw people, to draw nations to Himself. And so this morning, God is offering us an invitation for our deepest needs to be satisfied fully and for our life to become so distinctive. And He has a purpose for that. He wants to draw many people in our community and in our focus country to Himself. And this ties in very well with our church direction towards Jubilee in 2026. If you have forgotten that, 2026 is our Jubilee, means our 50th anniversary. I think 2016, we celebrated our 40th anniversary. 2026 is our Jubilee. And this is a direction that we as a church, together with the leaders, we as a church adopted. So I want you to read together this again to one another. A transformational church, transforming our community, one life at a time, one family at a time. I hope we will keep on reminding ourselves of this. So this is our vision, our direction towards Jubilee 2026, our Jubilee year. Our vision is to be a transformational church that will make a difference in this community and in the countries that God has burdened our heart to reach out to. We want God to use us to draw many people to Christ here in Pasir Ris and in our focus countries in mission. We are beginning to do that already in this community. And if we talk to those who are involved in the prison ministry, this is an awesome responsibility for us to go out and influence life. One of them will be coming out next month, but he wouldn't be joining our church because he's a Malaysian. He got to be deported straight back to JB. But we will try to get in touch with him when they come out. And the lives are being transformed, you know, as we lift out our witness for God, as we become the lighthouse in this community. But this will not happen automatically. Just because we are a church in Pasir Ris doesn't mean that people will just come and be drawn, will come to church to find God. This won't happen automatically. Before we can touch and transform lives for Christ in this community and in our focus countries, our own lives must first be touched and transformed by God. And this brings us to our second point. Seek the Lord earnestly. Verses 6 to 9. Let me read verse 6 to 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, God is inviting his people to come to him urgently. It's an imperative, a sense of urgency. He is more than ready to be found by those who seek him. God is ready with arms wide open. He wants to comfort the despairing. He wants to forgive the sinners. He wants to deliver those who are in physical and spiritual bondages. But there is one thing that we must do, and we must seek the Lord earnestly. We must call upon him. To truly seek God is to seek his presence, to seek his ways in our life. That is why, brothers and sisters, when we truly seek God, we will forsake our wicked ways. You know, we will forsake our sinful habits, and we will turn back to God in repentance, in true repentance. So those who claim to seek God, but there is no change in their life, these people are not truly seeking God, and there are many who are doing that. They are merely seeking an experience. They are merely seeking a spiritual experience. They may go from this church to this church, this meeting in town to another meeting, but no change in their life. They are merely seeking an experience. It is not information that you and I should seek from God, but rather God himself, his presence, his character. Enjoy him and be delighted in our innermost being. It is not God's blessings that we should be seeking, but God himself, who wants to take control of our life and bring about true and real life transformation. You know, the question is raised in the minds, I believe, of God's people then, who received this invitation from God the first time while they were living in exile in Babylon. The question raised in their mind could be, how can we, a captive people, downtrodden, wiped off the map of the world, people of God, receive such a miraculous transformation? How can this be true? We are not even on the map. Perhaps you are thinking, brothers and sisters, this morning, Pastor, my life is in a real mess. I come from a broken home. My marriage is on the rocks. How can my life be transformed? Or some of you may be thinking, Pastor, there are bondages and strongholds in my life, habits that I cannot give up. Can my life be transformed? The answer to your doubts is found in verse 8 and verse 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, our thoughts are our patterns of thinking. There's a certain pattern here. When we do certain thing on many times, it becomes a pattern. It's like a trodden path, you know, on the grass, on the field. So our thoughts are our patterns of thinking. And our ways of doing things are our patterns of behavior. So our patterns of thinking and our patterns of behavior, according to these two verses, are very different from God. So if we are to truly experience God's manifest presence and power in our life and ministry, our patterns of thoughts and our patterns of behavior must be changed. Verse 7 says, we must forsake our wicked ways and turn from our evil thoughts. And verses 8 and 9 gives us the reason. Why? Because, why must we turn away from them? Why? Because they are different from God's ways and God's thoughts. They are not God's thoughts and His ways. Notice that both our thoughts and our ways must be changed. So any change of behavior without any change in our thinking or our attitude is going to be just only temporary change. I think you know what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. To help us to seek the Lord earnestly, there must be real life change in our conduct as well as our thinking, our pattern of thinking, and our attitude as well. And as a church, you have heard us say before, as a church, we have what we call the life transformation process that will help us in doing this. So I hope that you will take advantage of the courses that we're going to offer. These courses are not just you attend, but it will give you some idea as to how we may connect with God. And they are both content as well as skill courses, so that you will become fruitful, not only in our life, but also in our ministry as well. Like the present one that Pastor Andrew is taking us through on the spiritual formation. This is a very important course that you and I need to take. So let me encourage you to sign up for these courses. At least two courses throughout this year, 2021. One in the first half of the year, and the other one in the second half of the year. By the way, the young adults, I heard they are going through one of them as well. Renew what you're going through, right? And I believe and hope that it is really doing something in your life. So the young adults are going to that as well. See, our life transformation process gives each one of us like a milestone, a spiritual journey, where we have come from and where we are going to go towards reaching full maturity in Christ in our spiritual growth. It guides us to grow as Christians, to be more devoted to the Lord, as well as give us some skills so that we can use our spiritual gifts to serve the Lord, so that we may be fruitful in life, both in life as well as in ministry. And this brings us to our third and final point. Spread God's word confidently. Verses 10 to 13. Let me read verse 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, God says. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the way, in the thing for which I sent it. Here we have the reason why we should seek the Lord and abandon our evil thoughts and our wicked ways. The reason is the absolute dependability of God's word. God's word can be depended upon. What God has said about forgiveness being available is absolutely dependable for those who truly repent. All that God has said in His word is reliable. What God said about Himself and His love for us, like the covenant that He made with David, He wants to make with us, that is completely reliable. What God said about the foolishness of pursuing things that doesn't satisfy us, the foolishness of idolatry, that is reliable. What God said about those things. And what God said about the importance of true repentance when we have done wrong, that is truly reliable. You see, Isaiah uses the analogy of the rain to explain the impact of God's word in our life and in the lives of the people that we influence. See, if rain comes at the appropriate times, we could expect a bumper harvest for the year. That means enough food for the farmer and his family to eat for that year. Equally important, enough seed to sow for next year's crops and next year's harvest. But if the rain does not come this year, not only would this year's crop be ruined, it wouldn't ripen and mature, there will be no harvest. Not only that, there will be no seed to sow for next year's crops and next year's harvest. In other words, we will experience a famine. So in a very powerful comparison, Isaiah says that just as the rain and snow accomplish the purpose of watering the earth, so the word of God accomplishes its purpose for which God sends it. This is God's promise. I will accomplish what my word is sent forth to do. Whether in our sanctuary here, through our CG, through our daily devotion, out in the community, in our focus country, God's purpose, God's will be accomplished. His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, let me urge us to be bolder in spreading God's word in 2021. Why? Because I believe we will have a great harvest. Let us build intentional relationships with our friends and our loved ones, with our colleagues, with our schoolmate, our classmate, with people in our neighborhood, so that we may earn the right to share the gospel with them when God gives us the opportunity. And as we share the gospel boldly this year, believe me, we will reap a great harvest, a bumper harvest. This is what the word of God is promising us. Just as the rain and snow makes the earth productive, God's word makes our life and our ministry fruitful. We can be confident of that. Let me read verses 12 to 13. For as you go out in joy and be left forth in peace, the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Of course, this figurative speech, that means there will be an impact in the world when we boldly proclaim God's word, declare His word. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So this is a picture of God's people being led out of Babylon from captivity with joy, and they were returning to the promised land. That was the picture, these two verses capture. The curse of the exile and captivity will be reversed. Plantations of pine trees, cypress, and myrtle will replace thorn bushes and weeds and briars. So, brothers and sisters, this is God's promise to us as a church. When we seek the Lord earnestly for this year, 2021, and when we find our true satisfaction in Him, when we delight ourselves in God, when we enjoy Him, He will make us fruitful both in life and ministry. No more thorn bushes, no more weeds, no more briars. I want you to turn to your neighbors and say, no more thorn bushes and briars, but fruitfulness in life and ministry. Say to one another and say believingly. Brothers and sisters, God, through His word, has given us an invitation that you and I cannot afford to refuse. Perhaps there are some in our midst this morning who have not yet come to God to have your deepest needs being met and satisfied by him. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I believe for some of us who have not yet known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, probably in our sanctuary, or some of you listening online at home, Jesus Christ is right now standing at the door of your life and he's knocking. If you open the door and invite him to come in, he will come into your life to be your Savior and Lord. So if you are not yet a Christian, and this morning you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior and Lord, I would like you to repeat this simple prayer after me. Let me encourage Christians to pray along so that we may help those who are praying this prayer for the very first time. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior and Lord, just repeat this simple prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept your invitation to come to you to satisfy my deepest needs. I know I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. Right now, I invite you into my life to be my Savior and Lord. I want to turn from my sins and follow you. From today onwards, help me to please you in my life. Amen. So if you have prayed that prayer to receive Jesus into your life, to be your Savior and Lord, let me encourage you to talk to someone, maybe a friend who brought you or a loved one who brought you, so that we can help you grow as a Christian. And for the next 1 or 2 minutes, let me address those of us who are Christians in our midst and those who are listening online as well. The start of a new year is always a good time to decide to be serious in our relationship with God. It's always a good time to do that. So will you make a decision, brothers and sisters, this year, 2021, to seek God earnestly as we begin this year, to seek God earnestly so that there will be true, real transformation in your life and so that in your ministry, in your service for God, you will become fruitful. So no more a half-hearted Christian who simply attends church or now even like don't attend church. Some people are so comfortable online. Just to share with you this story, it's not in my text here, but during the last few days of 2020, I was at another personal retreat, this time at a very small hotel in Bencoolen Street, and it was nearby Albert Hawker Center, and near the Hawker Center was a temple. And that afternoon, 28 December, I remember, that's the day that Phase 3 began in Singapore. And so I was there for lunch. I was hoping to, after lunch, to walk to the National Museum because I haven't been to the National Museum for more than 10 years already. So after lunch, it was pouring like cats and dogs. It was raining so heavily. And as I was leaving the hawker center, I saw long queues of people, a winding queue of people in the heavy rain with umbrella. They were queuing up to enter the temple. And I saw even one guy without umbrella. He was soaked in the rain. When I was carrying umbrella, I was a bit wet also in my back. But he was soaked in the rain. But they were entering the temple. Brothers and sisters, you and I serve the true and living God. We must be more passionate in our seeking God. We must earnestly seek Him. So let me urge us to just do that. Don't simply just attend church or just go online. Let us be earnest seekers of God in 2021. So let us pause for a moment and you tell God in a prayer, in your own words, that you want to earnestly seek Him this year. Tell the Lord that you desire to be fruitful in life and ministry, individually as a Christian, as well as corporately as a church. So let's pause for a few moments and we talk to God ourselves, okay? Then I will close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, you hear the prayers that we utter to you in the sincerity of our heart. You promise us that when we seek you with all our heart, we will find you and we will experience your presence in our life. Lord, we desire fruitfulness in our life and ministry for 2021. So touch and transform our life by your holy presence. Then use us to transform the lives of people around us and in this community for our Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.